How to pray like a pilgrim. Did the pilgrims pray? There is an account of a specific prayer service that took place between the first and second Thanksgiving that I'd like to relate to you. After celebrating a Thanksgiving and all the fruits of their labors and a great harvest and feeling snug and prepared for the coming winter much better than they had the previous one, a ship arrived on their shores from England that had people and not supplies. 35 more people joined the group of approximately 60. Of course, it drained their provisions. Springtime came, and as they had in the previous spring, they planted crops, expecting a bountiful harvest and praying for that. But in the summer, midsummer, they experienced a severe drought, and the gardens began to dry up. Facing the reality of the results of that, they called a prayer meeting. They gathered together day after day for 1 week, fasting and praying, seeking the face of God in their dilemma. And one day a small cloud appeared in a clear sky. The cloud moved right over them, began to dispense what clouds do, rain. It rained a steady rain for 14 days straight. And that was the beginning of a bountiful harvest. They indeed were praying pilgrims. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, known as the faith chapter, we again read of praying pilgrims. Men and women who lived by faith, it is recorded. And they are called strangers and pilgrims because they look forward to a city whose builder and maker was God, did not trust in the present circumstances, or were they content? But they looked forward, and for that reason, they were known as strangers and pilgrims on earth. And yet, while on earth, they fulfilled their roles and callings by faith and prayer. How does one learn to pray so effectively, like the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 and like the pilgrims who prayed rain down on their crops? How can one pray like that? Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I believe Jesus gives us some sense of direction of how to pray like a pilgrim. Matthew 6, verse 5. Also, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full already. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible because it amplifies. When you pray, go into your most private room and closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. And when you pray, do not multiply words, repeating the same ones over and over, and heap up phrases, as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their much speaking. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray therefore like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed, kept holy, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven, left, remitted, and let go the debts, and given up resentment against our debtors. And lead bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you forgive people their trespasses, that is their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, I would like to pause and ask you to join me in your own hearts that we all might learn how to pray as the pilgrims pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the teaching in your word on this great subject of prayer. Help us to capture today something new, Lord, and fresh that will give us new abilities to touch your heart and connect with you in your perfect will for that which we're involved in on earth. And we thank you that you will do that, Lord, because we are talking to you who can and will and desires to enlighten our hearts with more understanding that connects us with you and with your program. And we ask it, and we know our prayers are heard, because we ask it in that one name that gives us entrance into the Holy of Holies, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As Jesus was praying one day, and finished that prayer, one of the disciples, in observing him praying, said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Like John taught his disciples to pray, you teach us." What was it that he had observed about the Lord's praying? It wasn't at a time when they observed a miracle as a result of prayer. It was the observance of Jesus in prayer. Was it the way he waved his arms when he prayed? Did he point to heaven in a specific way? Or was his countenance enlightened? And was there the reality that this human man, Jesus, was connecting with God, his heavenly Father? I believe that's what it was. And now, in response to the question, "Lord, teach us to pray," Jesus laid down two ground rules that are vital before we pray. The ground rules. When you pray, enter into your secret place, into your closet, and shut the door. That alone is a sermon in itself. Does that mean we are not to pray in public? But when you are in public or in private, shut the door to everything else and enter into a personal relationship with God, your Heavenly Father. Close the door to the anxieties and fears and sins that keep you from Him, and come in and close that door and begin to realize that you are entering into the presence of one who is ultimate and holy, who loves you and cares for you. Now, I'm sure that fly-by prayers or prayers done in a hurry are heard at times when there is not the time to shut the door. But for the most part, Jesus is trying to make a point in the importance of recognizing where you're at spiritually when you pray, and where you're at spiritually is not where you're at physically. For those physical things will distract. Plus, the second foundational point that must be remembered and connects to the first is, don't try and impress people when you pray. You're not talking to them. Although, I'm sure if you're praying in public, you are conscious that others can agree with you in prayer, so you speak in a manner that they're heard. that you are heard and may understand, but remember it's God you're talking to. So, since it is God, and it was taught among the Jews, they had a statement that went something like this: everyone who multiplies prayer is heard. And they believed that, so they would be repetitious. Multiply what you say, get through to God. Furthermore, the heathen gods, you had to approach them in the teaching about them, had to approach them in a manner to get their attention. They might be off somewhere. You recall the conversation Elijah had to yell at your God. Bam! He might be busy somewhere else and bringing him back here. No, it's not that way. You're entering into a sacred relationship with your Heavenly Father, and vain repetition or vain babblings, of which today you have among the Buddhist and Mohammedan voices, vain repetitions, as well as there is a particular church, I won't mention the name of it, who does teach vain repetition. There is an interesting account of the great painter Leonardo da Vinci, who was painting the great cathedral, way up on a scaffold with his associates, and a woman came in to pray. Now, whether this story is true or not, I don't know. It's one of those that makes a point, and you enjoy the point. She came in to pray, and these men way up in the scaffold were not obvious to her, so she was there with her repetition. Holy Mother Mary God, pray for us sinners now, repeating that. And one of the associates of Leonardo da Vinci saw an opportunity to do something. He said, "Woman, this is Jesus. I want to speak to you." She kept up the repetition. Holy Mother Mary God, pray for us sinners now. So he calls again, "Woman, I would like to speak to you. This is Jesus." He did that 3 or 4 times. She kept up her role about Holy Mother Mary. She says, "Shut up. I want to speak to your mama." Well, the point is, the wrong person and the vain repetitions. Not knowing that she could speak directly to Jesus, speak directly to Father. So, whatever. True or not, it's interesting. Praying much and using the same words is not condemned. He's not condemning the fact that you come to the Lord frequently with the same request. That's not the point. He's talking about the spirit of it and your understanding of prayer. And God doesn't mind. I would assume I have prayed over certain things thousands of times. That's not what I understand as vain repetition, but each time I prayed, I usually only made that statement once, and that's what it's talking about. But now he says, you know, that's not important, because your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. And what he's trying to help us understand is that you are talking to someone that cares about everything you are about, like a father does. Cares about your total well-being, and he's been noticing the activity of your life. He's been involved in it, actually. And he has structured your life in a way that for you to be in his perfect will, you are required to talk to him about it. He already knows. But he's constructed us in his likeness and image for fellowship and cooperation. And so Jesus, in another time of sharing about this, says you don't get what you need because you don't ask. Your Father already knows and has it in place for you, and you perhaps have heard these stories of people who died and went to heaven, and the Lord took them to this warehouse filled up with material things and blessings recorded that were for them. And they said, "What's this?
Well, these are all the things you didn't get because you didn't ask for them, or you didn't take the time to enter into the closet with the Lord and talk over seriously your needs in life. They were all here, ready to go, but we have to give them to somebody else now. Your Father knows. Look at the person next to you and say, your Father knows what you need. Now look back at the other person and say, thank you, I'll ask him for them. So, having all that as the ground rules, I repeat, these are the ground rules, the premise from which to pray. He says that after this manner, pray, and he gives us the general guidelines of praying along with a constructed prayer. It's not just a model to be repeated, but it is a manner, a form, but as well as a prayer. It's not just hints or directions for prayer. It is actually a prayer, but it is not only intended to be just a prayer. We are learning this morning how to pray. So this is the model prayer he gives us to give us insight and understanding of the principles to pray. And he says, begin by saying, Our Father. I think it is important, and I must say that the Holy Spirit really, really gave me this insight. And never before did I think about it. And I dwell and spend a lot of time thinking about this. Notice he did not say, my Father. Now, is he not my personal Father? Yes. But when praying, remember this, very important. If you want to be in the perfect will of God, you have to have we and our thinking. If you wonder why my prayers are not hurting times, it's because I am specifically dealing with me and forgetting that my role fits in conjunction with everybody else. So, the thing to remember is, yes, he is personal. He knows everything about me. Notice the thought here. First he is saying he knows everything about you, but now when you come to pray, your things fit into the context of everybody else's things. Our Father. Ours. Ours. Not just Stanton Mennonites. All of the churches around here that name his name. Our Father. How do we do church in Stanton? We all fit together. What do they pray? Make the Presbyterian church shine. You know, I don't know what they're praying, but realize this, folks, that when we pray, he considers them as well. You understand? And down to personal needs, ours, our families. Always it's ours. Now I might have a specific need that is mine uniquely and alone, but still there's always other people connected. And when you say are, that's why the answer comes back many times. It gives us ideas about somebody to go talk to get the complete answer, because it's are. All of us are involved. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, to be held in reverence, regarded and treated as holy. God means himself as revealed and manifested. God always, always demands that we reverence him. We cannot come to him lightly. My name is to be held in reverence. There are seven petitions in this prayer. And it's interesting to note, the commentator noted this, that the first three, thy name is holy, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the first three are kind of a descent. We reach out to the holy, majestic God of the universe. And then we say, thy kingdom come. We want your kingdom. Down here on earth, where I'm at, may your will be done. Now, the next four again, start from here with us and God, down to the uniqueness and simplicity of saying, God, I need my daily bread, my daily substance. And then we move on from that into bigger and deeper things. First, give us our daily bread, then forgive us our debts, and then, Lord, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Seven petitions, and we'll look at each one very briefly. We approach him as our Father, and then we say, the kingdom of God, which is that moral and spiritual kingdom, which the God of grace is setting up in this fallen world, may that which is according to your will in that kingdom happen now. But every Christian has a blessed hope about that future kingdom when God will reveal the glories of the mysteries for his saints in the coming of Jesus Christ. And when we come into the presence of the Lord in prayer, we are dealing with the reality that things don't stop here today. This need that I have, the way God wants to meet me, has something to do with the far distant forever future. And in that, when we say, thy kingdom come, is the possibility that there may appear to us any time the person of Jesus Christ in his second coming. Thy kingdom come. Glories and the blessed hope that immediately picks us up from the struggles of today to know that, hallelujah, in that blessed kingdom of which I'm involved in now and struggling in now, and things might be difficult now, it is a forever kingdom, hallelujah, and there are much better things to come. Recently, Janie and I had an interesting experience of a Christian trying to sell us a timeshare. I like that. I looked at him and I said, hey, you and I both know that where we're headed. I said, I'm 66 years old. I don't know how long I'll be here. But you and I both know that where I'm headed is going to be things that these timeshares and all the wonderful things you're telling me I would have here at Massanutten are nothing compared to that. And he nodded his head. And I said, there are some things I don't need now. Can do without. Oh, they're nice. And yes, if I golfed and skied, this would be great. But I don't. I don't need it. The guy, what did he say, honey? What am I going to say? Why? Because I know who I am. And yes, I do use timeshares. Don't let me mislead you and some of those things. But how much do I need? Not as much as those guys tell me I do. Because I'm a part of the greatest thing going on in the universe, the kingdom of God, now and in the future. Hallelujah. I have to watch it or I'll get off on that one. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I enjoyed the comments that I found on this from the commentators. And they first are saying, what we're saying there, just as there is joy in heaven, every moment about everything, bring that joy, that you will, to earth now in these messed up circumstances. Your will be done on earth. What is God's will for us? To be joyful. For us to be deliverance. For us to live in victory. Just as there is complete victory in heaven, bring it now as I'm struggling and asking you to meet a need. Bring that joy to earth. Thy will be done, Lord. Never thought of it that way. I won't tell you what I did think, but that one was worth preparing the sermon for. Now, we're kind of, if you have been with me, following me in this, and I hope you have, we kind of ascended into the heavenlies, didn't we? In the glory of glories. Realizing that in prayer, Jesus is saying, enter into that. Into that great place where we meet God and he comes down into the realm where we're at. But now, simply, he's showing us in this model prayer that in a short time you can hit a lot of things. Give us this day our daily bread, right there where I live. God, you're not that high and holy that you don't care about the simple things of life and realize that if I'm going to be in your will, I need to eat. So, Father, give us what we need. you've ever asked God for daily bread, but I had to think about this, how we carry out in other ways. Please, Lord, like the pilgrims did. They realized that God was going to give them their daily bread next winter, they needed to ask God to put rain on what they had planted this summer. He's not saying you live a life independent of work. You have to cooperate with me. I gave you the earth. I gave you seeds. Plant it. But it's up to you, God, to water it. A lot of things I can't do that you can do. So, God, I'm going to talk to you about the simple things of life. Isn't that wonderful? The simple things of life. Give us our daily bread. And now we start with the simplicity of things on earth. Do I have your permission to go a few minutes longer this morning? How many? Is that okay with you? How many say no? Well, you need to leave, but I'm into something here, friends. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive our debts. An offense, forgive me, Lord, the offenses that I've done against you. He wants us to think about that when we talk to him. Be holy, for I am holy, he says. How can I talk to a holy God? Only through Jesus, but how can my life be effective by acknowledging the unholiness? Offended you, God. Do you realize that every offense is an offense against God? I've offended you. Forgive me, Lord. And he says, well, there is a connectedness to the we in this. Our Father. How about the rest of the people included in that Our Father that you may have offended? Wow. When you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has all against you. Now listen to this. Did you ever really look at that statement? It doesn't say, if I have all against my brother, he says, those people that might be mad at you. I want you to do your part in trying to motivate reconciliation with others. Now, in the Lord's Prayer that we're dealing with now, it is very basic that first, before we talk about that, we deal with our own feelings and resentments and offenses and hurts and all of that before Almighty God. You want your prayers to be effective? He says, you have to have a clear slate with me, and you don't get a clear slate with me unless you deal with your feelings to other people. Now, I've experienced feelings that won't go away. But I need to express them to the Lord to make sure that in my mind and with my mouth, I have made determinations to deal with them. That's all he's asking. And in time, the proper feelings come. Hallelujah. How many understand what I'm saying there? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. I wonder how different my life might have been if I would have prayed that every day. No, we are not prepared to handle everything in life. No, we get ourselves into messes where our emotions are triggered and we sin. We say something we shouldn't have, we sin. But if I pray, lead us. Not into temptation, I wonder if that would make a difference. Would I not receive a motivation to go a different direction or hear God say, no, don't mess with that person. You can't handle them today. Lead us not into temptation. But on the other side, the Bible tells us he does lead us into temptation to test us. But he knows what is adequate for the moment. He knows how much we can be stretched each day. I don't. He does. He knows how to motivate us to guard our own mouths so we don't get in trouble. I don't. He does. For some of you, if it be knows how to motivate you to speak up more. We deal with this differently with different personalities. Lead us. And, O Lord, it's connected together with lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. But does not that include the evil that we're unaware of in our own lives? Deliver me, Lord. Here I am talking to a holy, righteous, just, sovereign God. Because he's called me to live in an evil world. Deliver us from evil. For it's your kingdom. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. What a release to let it in God's hands, isn't it? What a release to have a time when you know you've been talking to God. Know you've shared your heart with Him. Know that everything's okay between you and God. And you can walk away from it. Thine is the kingdom, it's yours. The power and the glory. Now, in this circumstance that I prayed about, and forever. Amen. So let it be, my sons. And then he puts a little tag on the end and says, just remember. Because he knows the hearts of human beings. If you haven't dealt with that thing of forgiveness correctly, he adds it on at the end. Lord teaches to pray, and he ends up after the prayer saying this. Just remember now, if you went too fast in that part of the prayer that has to do with your debts to me and your debts to other people, if you haven't dealt with that properly, this prayer gets crossed out. How about that? Jesus is pretty strict, isn't he? So you might have to, after you said amen, go back and deal with that again. I found is that, you know, having great times with the Lord, and the first thing that happens after is the temptation to deal with an attitude, which sends me back into that dynamic of forgiveness again. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've had a wonderful time with the Lord, and that of all people that cross my path or to call me on the phone, after having such a high, what was the high all about to get you ready for the low? I want you to do something this morning. Will you kindly stand with me? Pause for a few moments and just ask the Lord to take you into His presence, to shut the door to everything else. We want to come in to a holy, righteous, and a just God. We didn't come in to impress Him, but we came in to pray. And now would you join me as I pray this model prayer together. Our Father who is in heaven, why don't you repeat after me, okay, everyone, repeat after me. Our Father who is in heaven,
our Father who is in heaven,
holy is your name,
holy is your name,
your kingdom come,
your kingdom come,
your will be done,
your will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven and let go of the debts.
And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven and let go of the debts.
And also given up resentment against our debtors.
And also given up resentment against our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from the evil one.
But deliver us from the evil one.
For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Lord, you heard our hearts. Receive that prayer. We trust you with our lives and our circumstances. Amen. Remain standing. There's yet a few further things.
we had a council meeting Wednesday night, and two specific appointments that came out of the council meeting. One was I was asked to be prayer coordinator during the pastoral search, and I accepted that role, but wondered what I was supposed to do. And I've asked if you would give notes to Glenn concerning that, and I will receive that as ideas. But it came to me this morning that one thing I can do this morning is have you all gather around those individuals, and this is the second action I'd like to talk about, that have been chosen for the pastoral search committee. That we gather around them this morning, lay hands on them, that God would lead them in this journey and would bring about his fulfillment and accomplishment. So I'm going to ask Glenn and Dan and Maxine to come forward, and the rest of you gather around. We'll pray. Would the rest of you come and join them? So we lay hands on them and pray for the wisdom and understanding that they need, guidance. Precious Lord, how awesome are your ways. Lord, in the past you have, through wondrous ways at times, brought the leadership and the pastoral person that was needed here at Stanton. And God, this morning we know that we believe already your hand is upon someone or upon other individuals to come and bring to this church that which is lacking, that we don't have, Lord, to that together we can fulfill your ultimate will and be a blessing. But God, you have called Glenn and Dan and Maxine to take a responsibility, Lord, that is heavy and cannot be done by human wisdom and logic, but only by your anointing of the Holy Spirit and your guidance. And so, God, we would pray that your hand come upon them this morning specifically for this calling. And that they would be ever mindful that God's perfect will would be done. Oh, God, for the rest of us, that we would back them with patience and understanding and wisdom and much prayer support and encouragement. We pray, O God, that you would be pleased by the outcome of this, but we also pray, Lord, that we do not see ourselves as that which we visibly deal with. That we do not look that great in our own sight, Lord, but we believe we are great in your sight. Lord, we don't want to settle for anything but the best qualified person you have. Help us to understand how not to be limited by lack of resource or anything. That you would motivate the calling forth of the person that qualifies and can do what you see to be done. Oh God, bless these three individuals with that blessing of your affirmation, of your support, of your confidence, and your peace, that they could, in a relaxed way, fulfill this role. And we trust you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Do you have a song that's appropriate?
There's a Thanksgiving song that we often sing. Matt, you want to play Dr.